Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Joining us today, this evening, is state senator, former state representative, a colleague of mine, Renee Erickson. Renee, how are you today? Do we have Renee with us? Renee?
Yes.
Are you
I'm
with
here.
Us? Oh, just some technical difficulties here in the studio. You can't trust John Whitmer to have everything up and going the right way now, can you?
No, it's great to be with you, Nick.
I'm not even gonna go there. I'm not gonna
go there. Easter Sunday jitters. Renee, how are you this evening?
I'm great. Happy Easter to everyone.
Happy Easter to you and Roger and the family as well. We appreciate you jumping on the show tonight. We just kind of an informal conversation here between a House rep and a state senator. Obviously, last week we had the tax bill we passed out of the House, sent over to the Senate. And I got the impression that the Senate would rather go to conference committee, kind of conference with us, enter into negotiations on this tax package. Is that kind of the feeling you're getting as well?
Yeah, I think that's accurate, Nick. And I know that there's been a lot of talk about why the president did what he did and declared it materially altered. But watching what happened on the Senate floor last week, from my perspective, I really think it might have been a move to keep some of the shenanigans that were happening in the Senate from happening with the tax bill. We had senators trying to pull up stuff all week long. And so I really think it was just a way to fend off some of those shenanigans and games on the floor of the Senate so that we can negotiate in good faith with the House.
Yeah, and that's definitely appreciated. I know you guys in the Senate have a few, we'll call them troublemakers. We have a few in the House as well that like to cause trouble. And unfortunately, some of these are our friends. They were elected as conservatives, but in practice, they go up there and they law bombs and they're nothing but troublemakers. It's baffling why they're there in the first place. Can you explain to, I guess, the listeners kind of how a conference committee works, what it entails? I know you as the chair of the Senate Commerce Committee will be having a handful of conference committees of your own that you'll be negotiating your position with. Can you kind of explain to listeners how conference committees work?
Yeah, it's a very interesting process. I'm chair of commerce, and then I'm vice chair of two committees on the Senate side. So I have a lot of conference committees I have to go to this time of year, which is a lot of fun, but keeps me busy. But what basically happens is once a bill passes either chamber, we like for them to be vetted in both chambers to establish both a Senate and a House position. And then what we do is if there are differences amongst those bills, then the respective committees, the chair, the vice chair, and the ranking minority member from both the House and the Senate get together, and we basically hash out the differences and compromise and come to an agreement. And then whatever comes out in a conference committee report is voted on either up or down then across the chamber floor. So yeah, that's a really short, abbreviated version of what happens. But these can go on. I mean, you can go back and forth for days on hashing it out. And I think the tax conference committee could be a very interesting negotiation process for people to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important to point out with that, as you said, language that has passed one chamber is conferenceable. So all the tax language that both chambers have passed in the last 2 years are all conferenceable in tax committee. So really anything that we've passed out of one chamber or the other can be in our tax plan that hopefully we get an agreement on through conference committee. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a great point, Nick. You know, last year, the Senate passed a 4.75 single rate plan. Technically, since it's passed one chamber, that could be brought to conference committee. I don't think that will happen by any stretch of the imagination, but you're correct. Anything that's passed either chamber could be brought into the conference.
Now, you've alluded to how busy you're going to be this week, especially as chair of the Senate Commerce Committee. One bill we passed last week that I believe you guys will be conferencing on is our child care bill. Now, you guys haven't really passed one on the Senate side and established a position, but I know you've had a lot of interesting discussions. I believe you were vice chair last year of the interim committee on child care. Is that correct?
Yes, and we had an interim this fall and came out with a list of recommendations, which really was kind of the impetus for the bill that you all passed on the House side. And so very familiar with the content and with the position of the House, and looking forward to hopefully coming out with some meaningful child care reforms that help our businesses, help our parents, because we know that not just Kansas, but child care is a crisis in a lot of states, just lack of accessibility and affordability. So hopefully we'll come out with some good reforms that help on that front.
Yeah, and I know last year we did pass some what I'd consider good reforms. They made it to the governor's desk and unfortunately did not survive a veto. We're talking with State Senator Renee Erickson. Renee, one last question. Last week there was a hearing of sorts on the Fed and State Committee you serve on in regard to medical marijuana. There was a medical marijuana bill that was proposed at the end of session. You guys held a hearing on it last week. Can you kind of talk about what was in this bill? And it was tabled, so the reasoning for the motion to table.
Sure. Real quick, it was Senate Bill 555. If anyone wants to look at the contents of that, it was introduced in the Senate the last week that committees were to meet. So it was very late in getting in the process. But Friday, Chair Mike Thompson of Fed and State did have a hearing on that. And what it basically boiled down to is law enforcement. Even marijuana proponents were against this because it limited it to four distributors of marijuana, and they thought it was monopolistic, basically. But there are vast concerns over the way this bill was structured. There's so many unanswered questions, and we certainly don't want to do anything that would lead to what's going on in Colorado or Oklahoma. We've seen those disasters. Tony Mativi did a fabulous job of testifying as the director of KBI, and law enforcement was there, and so really felt like this was not the bill that would go any further. So it was tabled until January of 2025.
Yeah, I appreciate that breakdown, Renee. And as somebody that's kind of on the other side of the issue, I am a proponent of medical marijuana. I have heard from other folks who are proponents of medical marijuana that this was not the bill and this was problematic to them even. So I do appreciate the fact that a hearing was held, but it sounds like, yeah, definitely something that was not ready for prime time, so to say.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Nick. Absolutely. So not a lot of support, even from those, like you said, that are proponents of medical marijuana in general. So not the bill, and we'll see what happens next session. But, yeah, it was tabled until January.
Got it. Renee, one last question here. Are you excited to host the John Whitmer Show next week?
I am. I love it. It is so much fun. And I don't know if people enjoy me hosting,
Renee,
but I sure
just,
do enjoy
just
hosting.
Ignore him, Renee. He's smoking marijuana as we're sitting here in the studio.
John, so you just, handed you know, it to me as I walked in.
just ignore him. He's,
you said we were going to be the Doobie Brothers tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy. We're having way too much information. By the way, Renee, happy Trans Appreciation Day to you. I wanted to make sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a lovely little surprise from the president. Not surprising, really, but just sad. Just sad.
Renee, were you like me and confused and thought he was talking about transport, being pro-transportation?
You're just
no, not at all, because I know John.
Love you, by the way. Thank you for coming on.
Renee, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us and filling in tonight. Again, I hope you and Roger and the family had a great and blessed Easter, and we look forward to seeing you next week. And hopefully we get some compromises between the House and the Senate, and we can get some good reforms into law. And if we need to, we're ready to override any vetoes the governor throws at us.
That's right. I'm confident we will. So thanks so much. Good to talk to you guys.
Absolutely. Take care, Renee.
All right. See you. Bye.
Hayesville city leaders are making a final push to renew a 1% sales tax. The tax has been in place since 2014 and is set to expire in June. City leaders have stressed that this is not a new tax, just a continuation of an already in place tax. Back in November, the renewal of the tax failed by just a single vote. Hayesville's Mayor Russ Kessler says that this tax provides many benefits for local residents, and we are pleased to have him with us this evening. Mayor Kessler, thanks for joining us.
Sure, it's great to be here.
Yep. So, Mr. Mayor, the current 1% sales tax generates roughly $1.3 million in revenue. It is evenly split between roads as well as parks and recreation. Is that correct?
Correct, as it is current, yes.
Okay. But if this new version of the sales tax passes, 10% of the sales tax will go towards property tax reduction for Hayesville's property owners. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Now, one question some voters may have with whether this is a new sales tax or is going to be permanent, or if this expires in 10 years. Is there any sunset on this tax?
There is no sunset on this question.
So this tax currently, in its form that is set to expire, has a 10-year sunset. But this tax, if passed, would have no sunset.
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. So what will happen if the sales tax vote fails for a second time? Will you look to raise property taxes, or will you have to cut spending to make up that $1.3 million in revenue?
Well, I would never say we were going to raise taxes or increase the mill levy. But what it would do is potentially slow down any street repair because the money would not be there in the sales tax. So it would come out of the CIP fund.
So one thought I've heard from folks when they go to more of a sales tax as the option other than a property tax hike is that it catches that transient tax, those taxes of folks visiting Hayesville. You know, if I go into Hayesville, I live in Southwest Wichita. I occasionally go through Hayesville. I stop at, you know, the local gas station. I buy something from inside the gas station. I'm contributing to that sales tax to the city of Hayesville, even though I am not a resident of Hayesville. Is that kind of an argument that you see succeeding with voters?
Yes, I do. because a lot of people don't know how many people actually travel through Hayesville. So according to the census, from the last census we took, there's a area on there where you can see what the transient is as far as who works in the city or how many people work in the city compared to live outside the city. So for Hayesville, it shows roughly 1,900 people live outside of the city but work within the city. So that's a lot of people. And, of course, the school district being the number one employer in the city.
So your hope is to catch kind of that transient money coming into Hayesville that may not otherwise be spent in Hayesville on with this sales tax.
That is correct, yes. Okay.
You know, Russ, it's John Whitmer. You know, a good chunk of my district is Hayesville, basically everything south of Grand. And I've been down over the last couple months door knocking in that area. Response, we've been asking, you know, among other questions, we've been asking a little bit about this issue. Response has been, I would say, mixed, about 50-50. Have you been talking to voters as you've been out talking to folks? I'm sure it's an issue that's come up when you're talking to voters. What are you hearing from people when you're out and about in town? What are folks telling you? What kind of feedback are you getting?
For the most part, it has been positive. There has been some people that are against it, and they asked me, they talked to me about it, and I explained to them the reason that we have it, and how much good it has done, and the quality of life that it has brought.
No doubt.
Like I was mentioned before, you know, we expect that to bring over $1.3 million a year, and that's a lot of money to go towards street repair and parks. So it definitely helps out with the quality of life in our city.
Well, and when I've talked to voters down there, the one thing, you know, they ask me, and I tell them, the one thing that they have to keep in mind is if it goes away, that's a revenue hole that at some point they're going to have to either, you know, look, when you lose revenue, it's just like you have with your personal, with your family budget. You're either going to have to cut some expenses or fill it somehow. And, you know, first off, you're getting a 10% cut in property taxes by virtue of this sales tax vote. Otherwise, at some point, if they have to, they being the city, if the city has to turn around and raise $1.3 million, they're going to have to do that through property taxes. So, you know, that's what I think voters have to consider is, do I want my sales tax to not change, or do I want it to be cut marginally and risk property taxes?
And I think if I can add another point is sales tax is something that everybody pays.
Yeah.
Not everybody in Hayesville
owns property, pays
a property tax. So a sales tax is almost the fairest way to collect a tax from everybody. Even though it is a regressive tax, it's also one that everybody pays their fair share on.
The least regressive tax.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure. That's why I called you, Russ, and I wanted to give you the platform to come on, is because I know I've been talking to voters, and I don't think anybody's really confused. I just think I wanted to make sure you had the opportunity, and if you could, you know, if I've got listeners in Hayesville, I know I do. If you would, you know, had a moment to reach out to talk to those listeners, what would you say to them, folks who are worried or concerned or thinking about voting no? What would you say?
Well, this is a continuation, so it is not a new 1% sales tax. So I think a lot of people may have been led that way, or maybe have been misled that way, or just thought that it was an additional sales tax. But it's definitely not a new tax. It's a continuation of the 1% sales tax, and this benefits all of our residents. Even if you own property or not, it will benefit you. I mean, we have just about every park was touched over the last 10 years with new equipment. We've had a couple of new parks put in, the Country Lakes Park over in the Country Lakes Edition, Dorner Park, which is a very large park with a large body of water, a lake. The dog park was put over there. A lot of people have been asking for a dog park. That's where we have our soccer fields at now. It's a big recreation area for residents and even those that are not our residents. I know people from outside the city, you know, use our parks, which is great because we would love to have them come in and utilize our great parks.
Yep.
Talk about other, you know, like other cities currently have a sales tax. Majority of the cities around us, like Goddard has 1%, Mulvane has 1%. Derby currently has 0.5%, but they'll be going to 1% come January 1st. And a lot of cities around us also have a 2% sales tax. So, it's some people say, well, I'll just go over to this city to shop. Well, that city more than likely has a sales tax already. So,
So if residents want to learn more about the new version of the sales tax, city leaders are holding two informational hearing sessions, April 15th and April 22nd. 6:30 p.m. at 200 West Grand in Hayesville. Is that correct?
That is correct. It'll be in the police. It'll be in the courtroom over at the police building.
Perfect. Well, Mr. Mayor, it's an honor to be discussing this with you tonight. I look forward to seeing your brother, State Representative Tom Kessler, tomorrow. Great guy up there, and you're doing great work in Hayesville. So thank you for joining this evening. If folks want more information, they can also reach out to you online at Hayesville/KS.com. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct. We also have a website set up just for this as well, which is www.HaysvilleSalesTax.com. And they can learn a lot of information on that website as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking your time out of this Easter Sunday to discuss the sales tax with us, Russ, and I hope you have a blessed night, sir.
You too. Thank you. And happy Easter to you.
You, sir. Thank you.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Each week during the legislative session, we bring you an update from Topeka on the latest bills and activity from our state capitol. With us now to bring us this week's Under the Dome legislative update is State Representative Avery Anderson from Newton. Thanks for joining us, Avery.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me on.
Avery, this is your second year as a chairman, your first term as chairman. You chairman the House Transportation Budget Committee. Is that correct?
That's right.
And while you chair the House Transportation Budget Committee, you do have the House Transportation Budget, but you also have a number of other budgets under your purview. Is this right?
We do. Yeah, it's transportation and public safety. So I have a lot of the state's public safety budgets.
Maybe we should ask Avery if he's the one who came up with the Trans Appreciation Day then. That appears to be your theory on that particular topic.
I'm a big transportation guy. I always assume every time I hear trans, it's transportation. Now, one of those budgets you have, Avery, under your committee's purview is the KBI, the Kansas Bureau of Investigations budget. And in my meetings this year with the KBI and the Attorney General's office, the biggest focus for them this year is combating our fentanyl crisis. I know that here in Sedgwick County in 2022, we had over 300 overdose deaths in Sedgwick County alone in 2022. The KBI set forth a budget to your committee, presented a budget to your committee for an ask of additional funding and resources to help combat this fentanyl crisis. Unfortunately, I believe the governor's budget did not reflect these requests, and only actually the governor's budget only requested about half of what KBI's budget was, and I believe a third of the FTEs the KBI requested. Is this correct?
That is right.
So can you talk a little bit about KBI presenting in front of your committee and their ask and what they were going to put this money and resources to?
Yeah, absolutely. So this has been an important issue for me. Even before session, I knew that this was going to be kind of the number one item I was going to work on, you know, outside of taxes this year. I talk with folks back home all the time. I do legislative panels. Anytime the fentanyl issue comes up, Kansans are passionate about putting a stop to it. Like Nick said, I have KBI and KHP in my budget subcommittee, and I met with each of them multiple times this summer. And during one of those meetings, before I was even able to sit down, they slapped a piece of paper down on the table in front of me. And I forget what the exact number was, but it was something like six fentanyl overdoses in my area in the last couple weeks. And it's just it impacts everybody, but my generation quite a bit. So I've been passionate about this for a while. Each year, every agency submits their budget request to the governor. And the governor then lays out their full budget from there. This year, the KBI went to the governor asking her to fully fund the fight against fentanyl in the state of Kansas. And apparently, she didn't feel like taking fentanyl off the streets was a priority for her. Like I said, this affects every demographic. We had KBI Director Mativi come in and testify in front of my committee. And according to the director, the trajectory of fentanyl overdoses is only going up in Kansas and across the country. Now, I think this is a federal issue. I think this is a border problem, but we need to do everything we can at the state level to curb the crisis and not allow it into our communities.
I do.
I gotta ask. I mean, this makes no sense to me. I mean, she put what $30 million, $40 million towards funding the World Cup. Primarily the bulk of those games are being held in Missouri, and yet she's cutting funding to the KBI to fight fentanyl in her own state. Did the governor's office give any explanation for why they chose to cut this funding and put it elsewhere?
Sure. So there was no explanation. I sit on the Appropriations Committee, so I see waste almost every day. Fentanyl is now the leading cause of death for Americans under 40. It blew my mind that the governor wasn't jumping to fully fund this issue and only half funding it. That's an atrocity.
Now, and I appreciate you pointing out that folks under 40, Avery, you and I are both under 40 years old. We're two of the youngest legislators up there. We're actually the two youngest chairmen in the Kansas legislature, Avery and I. And it's also key to point out that in my conversations with KBI, 100% of this fentanyl is coming from the southern border. So when you hear folks talk about it's coming from ports and stuff, the fentanyl that is in Kansas right now is coming from the southern border. Now, I believe the KBI's ask was, I believe, $6.5 million. Is that correct? And the governor's in her budget request only gave about $3 million. So we're about $3.5 million short of what KBI requested. Avery, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Although the governor decided that this wasn't a priority for her administration, I'm proud that my committee fully funded the fight against fentanyl. This allowed the KBI to hire more agents, but also analysts that take a deeper dive into these drug trafficking organizations and really go after the source of the problem. All in all, we were able to approve an additional 5 special agents, 4 forensic scientists, 3 analysts, and 2 investigators to crack down on the issue.
This is just so indicative, I think, of her priorities and what she considers. And again, I don't want to harp on the World Cup. I'm sure that can bring some ancillary revenue to the state. But time and time again, we see this governor with cattywampus priorities. And here is a great example where she's, you know, choosing to put her money. I mean, she thinks it's more important to put a wrought iron fence around, you know, Cedar Crest and not worrying about these types of priorities.
Yeah, so. And we can, I mean, John, you've been through the appropriation, the budget process. Avery serves on the appropriations committee. And we could lay the appropriation spending bill on this wall right here and throw a dart at it. And whatever it hits, we can find $3 million in waste in that program that we could point towards combating fentanyl to help save folks in our communities. So I do not understand the governor's thought process in this. To me, it is totally ridiculous. I'm thankful that Avery, you and your committee fulfilled this request. This will actually save Kansans' lives. We are losing too many young folks right now to fentanyl, and we need all hands on deck to combat this.
Yep, I couldn't agree more, Nick.
Avery, you also serve as chairman of the RACC, which is the Republican House Campaign Committee. And do you mind hanging on till after the break to talk about some key races and the ongoings with the RACC?
I'd be happy to.
Thanks, buddy. We do have one caller in right now. We have Terry on the line with us. Terry, how's your night going, sir? Terry, are you with us? Terry?
Going just fine. Yes, going just fine.
Okay. What can we do for you tonight, Terry?
No, I had a quick question for you.
Yeah.
I vote every time that we get an opportunity, and I think our traditional foundations and values are definitely under a large attack. My curious question is, when you actually go out and vote, do you think even in the state of Kansas that it makes a difference whether you vote by paper or trust the computer? Do you have a feeling on that? And then also, have you heard anything about how other communities in America might be trying to clean up some of the voting problems that occurred 4 and 8 years ago?
So, yeah, we've passed a couple of election bills in the House and the legislature over my few years in the House. Some of them have been vetoed. Some of them have been signed into law. My thoughts on paper versus machine voting is, if you are not comfortable with machine voting, vote by paper. I have no problems with that. I know I have friends that vote by paper. However, if our true push is we want to know the results of the election on election night, if that is the goal, which I think we all want to, then machines have to be involved. It would take forever. I mean, it would take days in order to count paper ballots by hand. I think that is the one argument I would have against going to straight paper ballots is the length, the time it's going to take to actually hand count those ballots. And it's also a reminder that human error happens as well. Human error actually happens more than machine ballot counting happens. So that's another perspective. But if you are comfortable making sure that your ballot is counted, feel free to vote by paper. I think that that is a right you have. I think that's a right we should continue to institute. That should not go away. You should always have the option to vote by paper. However, if we do want the election results on election night, we have to use machines. It speeds up the process. And to this day, I haven't seen any races in Kansas that have been overturned with machine errors. Now, there have been some machine errors in Kansas. It has happened. But our audits have caught all of those. So I think we do have the right procedures in place to make sure machine voting happens. Now, I also wanted to reiterate, we don't allow machines in Kansas to hook up to the internet. That is another thing. People are worried about hacking into the voting machines and the voting tabulation machines and changing the election results. Those are not able to be hooked up to the internet, so nobody can hack in to change those results.
So, are we one of the few states that have that, or do you know? They can't be hacked into?
I assume that there are other states that are like that. I'm not as familiar with election laws in other states as we are here in Kansas. But Kansas elections are typically ranked towards the most safest elections there are. And part of the reasons that is our current Attorney General, former Secretary of State Kris Kobach. I mean, we had him as our chief elections officer for how many years is that, John? Probably 12 years, was it?
Yeah, and Chris, I mean, you can't really find anybody who was more adamant about election law. And I have to say there are certain elements that I'd love to see us maybe be a little more strict upon with election law in Kansas. But and thank you for your call, Terry. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you, Terry.
But I do think that our election laws are pretty safe here. And yeah, I mean, I'm one of those who would like to see mail-in balloting maybe done with guaranteed to be delivered by election day. I don't know why we're waiting 3 days after. You have to pay your mortgage on time. You should have to vote on time. But beyond that, I think we do a pretty good job in Kansas. I'm not a huge fan of drop boxes, but I six of one, half a dozen, I could take it or leave it. But I think we do a pretty good job, and I'm confident in the safety and integrity of our elections. So
I
always encourage Democrats to make sure they get out and vote on Wednesday because that's election day. So
well, I agree with that. So we are still joined here by Representative Avery Anderson. Avery also is our RACC chairman. RACC is our Republican House Campaign Committee, tasked with getting Republicans elected to the House. And Avery, you do have a giant task in front of you this November. The Democrats and the governor are coming at our vulnerable Republicans hard. I know we have a couple of races down here that are a focus tour. Do you want to talk about those races?
Yeah, Nick, that's right. I took over RHCC chairmanship about a year ago. And when I took it over, the task in front of me was hold the supermajority. If we can do that in the House and the Senate, we keep reins on our Democrat governor. And so that's the goal at this election cycle is hold the supermajority. Some races in our area, Sandy Pickard and Cindy Howerton here in the Wichita area, those are the more vulnerable seats.
Two great representatives doing great jobs fighting for their district. Both of them, I believe, in South Wichita, southeast Wichita.
Definitely. And then there's a Democrat seat in Hutchinson that's in a more conservative Republican area, and that's a seat we can definitely pick up.
So another target of the governor seems like the Johnson County area. I know that we don't really have specific races up there currently. But do you get the feeling that that's going to be the key battleground for us here in Kansas?
Johnson County will be the battleground. We're going to put a lot of our resources up there, and I know the Democrats are going to do the same.
So, if I could insert, I think the other big thing that we have to be mindful of down here is her middle of the road PACs, the United Kansas group, and just making sure that voters are being careful when they start getting mailers or seeing candidates come out of the woodwork who are quote-unquote Republican, who are challenging some of our incumbents, to make sure that they're really Republicans, to make sure that they do their research, to make sure who these candidates are, because there's going to be a lot of misinformation in this campaign, don't you think, Avery?
Absolutely. Yeah, you have to keep an eye out on who's actually advocating for the candidates. The governor has a few PACs out there that she'll try to make look like Republicans, but it's definitely her Democrat candidates.
So another big part of RACC is making sure our candidates are fully funded. Now, the governor's raised a lot of money, but a vast majority of her money is coming from outside of Kansas. Can you talk a minute about how successful you've been as RACC chair and fundraising the last year and some odd weeks?
Yeah. So last year we broke the old RHCC fundraising record, but we've got a long way to go. The governor and the Democrats get a lot of outside support from outside of Kansas, and we got to keep the pedal down and keep working hard.
Well, you're doing a fine job at it, and I look forward to helping you in any way that I can. John, you have a busy day tomorrow morning. You want to talk to us about
thank you. I appreciate that. Yep, tomorrow morning, for those who are interested, I will be filling in for Ray Stevens. This is not an April Fool's. I'll be filling in for Ray Stevens on KCMO up in Kansas City.
So if folks are interested, they can find a link on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. But I'll be filling in for Ray up on KCMO up in Kansas City. Looking forward to being back on the air for a couple hours. It'll be great. Thank you.
John, thank you for having me on tonight. It's been a blast. You didn't have to use your dump button one time tonight. I did not cuss one time.
Andrew wanted to. He wanted to.
I was going to be close, but this is State Representative Nick Koheisel. Thank you so much. Have a great night and have a blessed Easter.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!